Welcome to the final in-season episode of our little podcast, episode 378, in fact, of the Tilehurst End. And what a season. Lows, more lows, a few highs, but ultimately survival and a day of celebration that saw 3 goals, 3 points, a brand spanking new kit, and a mashup in the Purple Turtle after hours. I'm joined today, as always, by my good friend Ross, and we have to start with the ultimate question of the day. What do you think of the new kit?
I very much enjoyed, you know, watching them come out, and that was a nice little surprise and fun little harken back to when Tim was on, you know, a few weeks ago, and he was like, "Oh, I'm not going to reveal when the kit's coming out or anything like that." Done us there. He's proper done us.
I, you know, I texted him literally. I managed to find an ounce of service for once in the Dolan.
Yeah.
Managed to get a message through to him. And I said, "Oh, you weren't lying, were you?" He said, "No." And it was really funny because my son was like, "Have they got a new kit?" And I went, "No, what are you on about?"
Right.
I was like, "Oh, it is actually a new kit. Like, it's clearly completely different to what was going on." So I think it's really nice. I mean, it's really clean. I'm a big fan of it. And I don't normally like the home shirts.
Okay.
I think this one's fantastic.
I like this one too, yeah. It's I just got my hands on one of the first Puma kits for Reading with the West Coast logo on it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of got like a similar vibe to that. So I was quite happy with that. Especially my favorite thing, I want to see the long sleeve when that comes out. I'm going to enjoy my Harvey Nibs long sleeve later in the season. I really like the full blue sleeves. That's where I'm into that. There's something very royal about
long
that
long sleeve. Yeah, that's going to be really nice. Yeah. And the goalie kit as well. I really like.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It's a sparkling orange, is what I'd call that.
Indeed. So yeah. No. Yeah. Speaking of new kits and things like that, I'm going to very briefly mention on this podcast the Portland Hearts of Pine. I'm going to hold that up to the camera here. So that you can all see, but we've got a new team coming to Portland, Maine, and this is the first time we've had a professional soccer team in the city, so we're very excited, and they've gone with Hearts, like the Scottish team, I suppose. So yeah, it was a fun little event yesterday. It was a big day in New England soccer yesterday because Messi played here as well, so we had our own little party to watch that. I don't think it quite ended up, you know, how the Purple Turtle did, but it was a good time nonetheless. So busy day for Reading and busy day in New England soccer as well.
So Portland Hearts of Maine, is that what it's going to be?
It's Portland Hearts of Pine, which is a very interesting. Yeah, a lot of these. So this is the United Soccer League, the USL. There's 3 divisions to it, and a lot of these teams have more interesting names. They really lean into the branding and all those kinds of things. So some of the best kits of the last few years have come out of America. Forward Madison, great team name, great kits, bright blue and pink. Oakland Roots, that's another great team. They play sort of like they've got like a tree design on their kit with almost like a rainbow sort of thing going on. So yeah, the USL, famed for some very creative, let's say, team names and branding and all of that. But anyway, I digress. That's enough of America. Keep your eyes open for the Portland Hearts of Pine in 2025, because I'm sure I'll be covering them a little bit.
I was going to say, I can literally feel glaring eyes on this podcast from the listeners. Like, we've secured survival. It's a day of celebration. Why are we talking about, you know, lower league American soccer?
Yeah.
Well, because we can.
Right.
That's why.
Exactly.
Because we want to do that.
Yeah.
So shut up.
Right. Exactly.
So thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Always.
We appreciate your patronage. So,
yeah. Appreciation, as always, goes to ZCZ Films, who continue to sponsor us. I don't know why I keep saying continue. It's not like they've signed a rolling contract or whatever. They've just said, "We're going to give you sponsorship for the season," and that's that. So, yeah, this is technically our last, well, it is our last in-season pod, our last review of a match. And they've been with us all the way through this very, very turbulent season. So thank you to those guys. Thank you to you guys for listening. And we're going to head straight into the recap of the Tangerines, aren't they? They are
Tangerines. Yeah. Not Satsumas. Yeah. Anyway, let's
not
talk
Satsumas
about them.
Anyway.
come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right. Quick recap of what was essentially a really entertaining game, I have to say. Like, you know, four minutes, Dembele, I say break the deadlock, but most people were still coming in because, the traffic and the human traffic, shall we say, was so tricky getting into the stadium because it's a huge crowd yesterday. But 4 minutes, edge of the area, all came from the right, really. Very nice finish indeed, I have to say. And it sort of, it wasn't quite Loire all those years back when we played Blackpool. I think it was the last game of the season we played them as well. And he absolutely lathered it. It was one of the best goals or opposing goals I've seen at the Mad Stand.
It rings
so
some
bells.
It wasn't
quite
yeah.
that standard.
Right.
But honestly, it was a great, if you want to Google it, just do Reading Blackpool from a few years ago-ish. It was like 20, might have been 2013 maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not 13, no. No, it wouldn't have been. Anyway, whatever. We played them. He scored a great goal. This was a good goal as well, but it wasn't quite that good. And then we kind of grew into the game, really. A lovely Aziz cross. We're going to talk about Aziz a little bit later on. With an absolute thunder puffing of a flying header from Sam Smith. I was kind of right behind him, but way further back.
Yeah.
Lovely flight on the ball. Lovely header. Really weighted. Fantastic kind of net nugget that nestled in for 1-1. Great time to score a goal as well. Really, really good time. Kind of gave us the impetus heading into the break. Blackpool came out a little bit stronger or stronger than they had been before the break. Carey and Coulson had efforts that kind of blazed them over. And they were made to pay for that in quite some style because Kamara, who came on, Nibs, who started the move, gave it to him. He slotted it back to Nibs right on the edge of the area, and it was an absolutely wonderful curling effort that went right in the top corner. Goalie had no chance, and it was a really, really good goal. I have to say, looking back at it many, many times today from the videos online, it really, really underrated goal.
Fantastic play
at the time
from Nibs.
It felt good, but and the fact he started it and finished it was just textbook stuff.
Yeah.
Got even better. Because a flick on from Sam Smith found Aziz, and he managed to slot it in from the left hand side, and it was it was party time then, really, to be honest. Even a Joel Pereira howler. It was a bizarre goal, really. What was
odd
it like
one.
The 91st, 92nd minute?
Yeah, getting there.
Lawrence Gabriel, he just sort of charged him down, and the ball kind of hit one post and sort of maybe might have hit the other one, and no one really knew if it had gone in. But
yeah,
the Blackpool fans were kind of like, season's done anyway. And I think a lot of them had left by then. So it was just a bit weird. But, at that point, we never really looked like losing the game or indeed not getting the win. And it rounded off really what was, what was an overall very, very positive day. Really, really positive day, I have to say. We do. I know that you've been irked this afternoon, or rather this morning for you, Ross.
Sure.
Yeah. Between the Pereira button. Should we call it discourse?
Discourse is, I do like that word. Chat, I think, is more. Chat is what happens in the pub later on at night. Yeah. Discourse happens exclusively online.
You've been irked by it.
My Jimmy has been rustled. Yeah. No, I think that so Pereira made a very obvious mistake yesterday, right? So he got himself closed down. I think he mucked up his first touch and then had a horrid angle to try and hit, failed to hit it, and in the back of the net it goes. I also reckon that his head was probably so far on the beach by that stage. It was, as you say, party time at the SEL, and I do think that translates down to the players a little bit, especially when they're doing things. They would have talked about this before the game, but they're bringing like Tom Holmes on for his round of applause and all these things, so I'm not that concerned about that. I'll just say this briefly, a little more concerned about the mistake that he made last week against Burton, where he had time and he chose to play into a bad situation and ended up causing a Reading goal. Or a Burton goal, sorry. That's all by the by. There is a conversation to be had maybe about whether Pereira will be the number one next season. And I think that, recruiting a goalkeeper in the offseason is going to be necessary unless they feel that Boyce Clark is almost there, almost ready to go. I'm losing a little bit of faith in that idea, but hey, you never know what happens in the summer. David Button should not be part of that conversation. And David Button should not be brought up when Pereira makes a mistake, because David Button made a lot of mistakes. There's the Northampton game, which is the very, very obvious one. And this particular mistake in this game yesterday, yes, this was a frustrating mistake to see your keeper make, but it was so inconsequential to the game. Something that he did earlier in the game was he made an incredible save at, what was it, 1-0, 1-1, really close range. That he celebrated in his usual style. That is a much more momentous moment in the game. That is Pereira's like big moment in the game from that game yesterday for me. And so you got to look at that as well if you're going to look at the mistakes. Let's just dive into the figures very briefly, I promise. But basically, as you know, I think that the expected goals on target versus goals conceded stat for goalkeepers is probably the best way that you can look into goalkeepers and how they've performed over the course of the season. Button ended his season with 46.6 expected goals faced, and he let in 53. So he's let in more than six goals more than you would expect over the course of his games. Pereira had about a third of Button's time this season, but he recorded a much higher save percentage. That's not super important. On the expected goals faced, he was at 16.5 and he conceded 14. So he actually saved Reading 2.5 goals over the course of his time in goal, whereas Button cost Reading goals. So I just, you know, I do feel, you know, I like a tall goalkeeper, for instance, and Pereira's not the tallest man ever. Like, I do feel that there's a conversation to be had about how we rebuild the goalkeeping department. But there is no conversation. There is zero conversation, in my opinion, between Pereira and Button. It is clear.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more clutch than straws, really. It is going to be interesting to see what comes up. I mean, look, you know, goalkeepers making mistakes at the end of the season doesn't seem to be massively unusual. You know, we touched a bit last week on the number one fight, in inverted commas. You know, I think I mentioned the Blackburn goalkeeper last week who had an absolute howler. But, you know, let's look back in our own recent history. You know, Nyland against Luton in 22, you know, like towards the end of the season. It was the last game of the season, actually. He made an absolute howler, you know, and it's not, I don't know what it is with goalkeepers. Maybe they are on the beach. I don't know. I'm not sure. I really don't know. But, you know, in terms of yesterday, I don't think it's a problem. And no. I don't think the thing against Burton is a problem, really. I think, you know, what we've got is a good shot stopper. There are areas that he needs to work on, of course, but, you know, he's done a damn sight better than David Button's done this season, statistically, anecdotally, you know, eye test, all that sort of stuff. He's done much better. So, yeah, I think it's probably just a bit of a reaction from the fan base in terms of, oh, maybe Button should be brought back in. I mean, everyone's in a good mood, right?
Yeah, right, so exactly.
Even the stuff that they were finding fault with previously, they're not going to do that right now.
And now I'm now going to shut up I mean, and stop telling the fan base off, by the way. But, and this is minimal, you know, like things I've seen, but it's some of it's come from people I really respect. So I'm like, right, look, all right, let me reiterate again what is going on here. And now I'm going to move into party mode, Reading fans. But if you want any further proof, just go and watch the David Button video from a little while back. I think that made the case pretty well.
I've not seen it actually. I've completely, that's gone completely over my head.
Yeah.
I've been looking at Tom McIntyre and what's been going on there, which has been quite amusing.
Really. That is so good, yeah.
Yeah, that's been quite funny. Moving swiftly on, so we don't upset anybody or get told off or whatever. It's difficult, isn't it? Because it was a crazy game, and we do tend to have these crazy games as other clubs do when, you know, there's nothing to play for their end.
Right.
It was entertaining. I think we did deserve the win on balance.
Agreed.
Despite what Blackpool manager Neil Critchley came up with in his utterly shambolic post-match interview, which I don't know if, you know, we don't talk about opposing managers really or referees on this pod, but he was just ridiculous yesterday in terms of what he said. So if you're interested, go and check that out. Just nonsense, absolute nonsense. But in terms of us, you know, who kind of impressed you yesterday? Because, you know, we had two players that reached 16 goals for the season in Sam Smith and Harvey Nibbs. We had Femi Aziz who did all right. we had Kamara who came on and had a very nice cameo indeed. Was there anyone else at all that you thought, oh, do you know what? I'm going to miss watching these over the summer.
Oh, that is a good question. I do want to bring up Kamara that you mentioned there, because Kamara came on for Reading today or yesterday for the first time since he was hooked off 29 minutes in against Fleetwood all the way back in October, and then contributed an assist. And no other Reading left winger, I believe, has contributed an assist while starting in that position. I think Sim pointed that one out yesterday. I know you don't like giving him his flowers, but we will have to for that one. Good for Kamara, and it also highlights, you know, the issues that we've talked about and won't go into now on left wing. I think that I want to actually highlight Aziz a little more. I know you brought him up there. And I'll say that Elliot was also very good yesterday and really helped get Reading's press going, which is super important alongside Nibs, obviously. Actually, let's talk about Elliot, because Elliot was good yesterday. Elliot seems to be understanding the pressing game a little bit better than our other young midfield options, in my opinion, at the moment. That may be because he's further forward. Reading are playing in a really nice sort of 1-2-3 pressing structure right now that starts with wing at the back and then goes forward. You've got Nibs and Elliot in front, and then you've got the left winger, right winger, and Smith. It's always Smith, you know, down the middle, basically. And that sort of, like, again, inverted Christmas tree structure is how Reading are trying to block up. They're trying to press right now. Elliot's been having a lot of success in that. And I thought yesterday he timed a lot of his challenges really well. He's very good at just like nipping in and nicking the ball without even touching the other player, which is quite impressive. Nibs obviously wins the ball a lot, but he won't leave his opponent in a heap necessarily, but he'll often, like, there will be a physical element to the challenge that Nibs, you know, includes to make sure that he can't have the ball immediately stolen back off him. And I didn't necessarily see that from Elliot. It's more timing and jumping in. So yeah, really happy with how he performed over the last month or so of the season. And I think that in terms of playing in Sellers' system, he may be the best of the three young center mids that we have. So yeah, Elliot definitely worth pulling out. And Aziz, just fantastic performance yesterday. Dan Worth from Who Scored, who we spoke to last week, pointed out that Aziz to Smith is the most common combination in League One for a goal this season. It's a really great partnership. And since Smith has started scoring more with his head in recent weeks, it's just kind of added another dimension to that partnership. So yeah, really a lot of good performances yesterday. But yeah, let's pull out Aziz and Elliot for sure.
Well, I mean, we know that Tom Holmes is off, and it was very nice to see him back on the pitch and fairly emotional, actually. Like, we mentioned him last week. I mentioned him last week on the pod, which is still available to download wherever you get your pods from. But, you know, we talked a little bit about Tom Holmes, and it was really good to see him get his flowers and be, you know, appreciated. And he was kind of pushed front and center the celebrations in front of Club 1871, sort of almost reluctantly, I guess, in some respects. But, it, you know, he always speaks really well. And we said, you know, his kind of redemption throughout the season was a massive plus point. And, you know, I think a really shining light in the mentality of those younger players that hopefully use that as a springboard, really. Aziz, obviously, is another player who, you know, we've mentioned in the past, we believe he is off and he will not be staying. That hopefully that's not true, but I don't think, based on his body language, based on his kind of celebrations, based on his kind of social media posts and stuff over the last 24 hours, that's a man that will be staying. He you know, there is a question in the mailbag about him, which we will come to, but, you know, he, on the whole, I think he's had a pretty good season. I really do. And you know, he's obviously had moments like all the other players where he's kind of dipped in and out of form. But when you consider I think he's one of the highest minute takers, whatever you want to, you know, appearance wise, in terms of the minutes that he's had on the pitch, he's done very, very well. he's done very well to avoid any kind of significant injury and keep himself fit and yeah. motivated. And, you know, he's been a real, for me, he's been a real example of what this team is about. So whatever happens, if we're lining up on August 10th and Femi Azeez is still in a Reading shirt, fantastic. It's great stuff by the club. But
yep.
I have a feeling I don't think that will be the case. So that just about wraps up Blackpool, really. I mean, there's not much else to say. We got 3 points. It didn't really mean too much. It was great to get a result from an emotional point of view and to kind of cap off the day. Lewis Wing, player of the season, Tyler Bindon second, and Harvey Nibbs third, which I think, you know, not many Reading fan or any Reading fan can whinge at. Really, really nice ceremony at the end. I loved the fact it was at the end of the game. I thought that was absolutely first class. Love the fact there were so many people that stayed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm wearing my Spain jersey today to try and join in with what you guys were all up to this weekend, but it looked great. And I was very jealous of, you know, the turtle, obviously, and just the whole atmosphere. It looked like that it was happening out there. It looked like people were just having a great time. I'm most jealous of the fact that Bobbins met Bindon. I'm not happy about this. How's that happened?
I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that he was in hospitality for the day with some of the other Sell Before We Die lot. I don't think anyone can begrudge them a day of prawn sandwich quaffing, put it that way. But the fact he was in hospitality and then met, you know, your man, it's just outrageous. I think he's just taking the mick, to be honest with you. So, we'll be having strong words with him over the summer about his behaviour. Rest assured, don't worry, we'll sort him out for that. Let's head straight into the I am joking, by the way. We love him, it's fine, it's not a problem. I didn't want that to come across. It was like, you know, we're gonna leave a horse's head in his bed or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't want it to. I am joking.
It's not a problem for you.
Yeah, just put that on record, really. We're gonna head straight into the mailbag.
Right.
Some juicy tidbits. Some big nuggets in there that we can get into. So
nice,
we're going to do that right now.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Alrighty, mailbag time. We had a fair bit this week. You know, there was some, there's always good stuff in there, but you know, some weeks we don't get anything. Some weeks we get lots. Some weeks we just get, you know, just comments basically that we kind of try and use. But we're going to start with Tom Hill. We're not going to actually answer this question, Tom, because we've kind of already done it.
Yeah.
But we're just gonna gloss over it. So his question was: I love seeing Pereira's antics last night as much as anyone else. I think he's talking about the turtle, which we'll come to in the preview. Not a preview. But two or four errors playing out leading to goals in the past two games isn't good. And the goals weren't that important, but are concerning. Do we really want him to be our number one next year? Yeah, we do. And that's pretty much that wrapped up, Tom. It's a good question, though. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to ruffle Ross's feathers.
My feathers are already ruffled. All right. This might be in part of where the ruffling like happened. So, you know, I just had to get
that
out there.
He's sat on his branch like a puffed up robin at the moment. That's what he's doing. Right. Not robin. No, that's Swindon, isn't it? Falcon, eagle, whatever. It doesn't matter.
There you go.
He's a big bird.
Eagle. Love it.
Greenstalk says, how on earth have the medical staff done what they have this season? The contrast between this season and our last few injury-wise is ridiculous. Azeez, for example, couldn't stop getting injured, but then he's gone and played a ridiculous number of minutes this year.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we said earlier. But yeah. I promised I didn't actually read that before I started talking. So that's great synergy, that Greenstalk. Synergy.
And we got another question.
What have the medical staff done this year?
Yeah, no, it's well noticed. And it's a good question because I think we got an emailed question from ZCZ Films about this as well, actually. You know, what happened? Look, guys, I'm not a sports physiotherapist. I'm not a sports doctor or anything like that. I don't think Ben is. I might be wrong about that. But from what I understand, he works in a school. So,
not me.
Right.
I do cut knees. I do have pediatric.
Raise knees. Cowpole administration, all of that kind of good stuff. But yeah, no, you're 100% right. It's been a very impressive year from some players. And I think Aziz, as you noted, Ben, and as this question notes, is one that's worth mentioning. Aziz had big injuries in both of the previous seasons that he was with Reading. And yet this year he's been able to go for months and months at a time, looking like one of Reading's most energetic players. Obviously, in different spates of the season, he's had more production, but I think he's been energetic throughout. You know, we saw good signs from him as early as, you know, Exeter away and things like that back in the end of the summer. So I'm not 100% sure, but I think that there have been some good... I think there have been some good role models who have come into the team this year in terms of how you prepare your body and how you look after yourself as an athlete. Harvey Nibbs is worth mentioning. He obviously has been posting sometimes about workouts that he does, often around sort of sprints. And those can be some of the things that, you know, get you damaged the most as a footballer, obviously planting your foot and twisting and getting knocked over. That's going to do some immediate damage, as we have seen a few times this season, but still get a lot of damage just from like the explosiveness of having to sprint and stop and sprint and stop for 90 minutes. It's a really long time, guys, 90 minutes if you're not playing football regularly. So yeah, I think that another good role model, Tyler Bindon, obviously comes from an athletic family. Both of his parents were athletes. So again, yeah, just a lot of good role models, a lot of good habits probably formed around that. I don't know much about the staff and the composition of the Reading medical department. I can't tell you if they've made a change in anything, basically, unfortunately. But yeah, the thing I would point to a little bit is that we've got a real hardworking group of players, and I think there have been some good additions to the squad, particularly Harvey Nibbs in the last year, that are just consummate professionals in terms of how they deal with their body, how they deal with recovery in particular. And yeah, I think that's kind of what I would say about it without more knowledge. I'd love to look into this more. It is interesting.
Well, we've been very lucky to speak to a range of people at the club this year and kind of widen our guest buffet, if you like. And, you know, you will have seen that Ross spoke to Dan Werth from Who Scored, which is a cracking interview. Really, really nice.
It was a really fun one, yeah. Check that out.
But we've had a lot more people now and new listeners kind of saying, can you go out and interview or get this person on the pod and stuff? And what we've done is we've drawn up like a wish list of people, and we have asked and will be asking for someone from the medical department to come on over the summer and just chat about what's different. You know, open invitation if they want to come on, that'd be fantastic. If they don't, that's fine as well. But I think it's always good to talk to people from different departments in the club about how they do stuff. I said this last year, but I think it's in some respects it's very simple, and the fact that a lot of the injuries, whilst physical, also mental. And actually, if things are going badly, there is a perception for the body or the opportunity for the body to kind of not. I don't want to go into Matt Letizia territory in terms of conspiracies, but like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're mentally good, your body's gonna rise to that challenge, right?
I can.
And the other thing, you know, and this again, this is really simplistic, but you know, when someone yawns near you, you start yawning, right?
Right.
I think like that with injuries as well. If someone's injured near you, you kind of you pick up on that vibe as well, like that subconscious vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be talking absolute nonsense, and I'm sorry if I've upset everybody listening to this, but I just feel like from the way that the team have responded to the fans and the fans responding to the players and stuff, those players want to be out there every single game, right? There's competition for places. Those players want to be out there playing football for this football club, and we've not had that collectively for a long period of time. We just haven't. So I think that counts for a lot. Of course, if we get one of the physiotherapists or club doctors on in the summer, they're going to tell us, actually, we've completely revamped the way we do recoveries, warm-ups, rest days, all this kind of stuff, and then it will just blow my theory out of the water. But that's my kind of very loose theory on why I think it's kind of gone better this season.
Yeah.
criminal record. I think that's fantastic, Jimmy. I think we've had.
You talk about that.
I think
every
he's really
time.
Good friends with Dan Worth, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's really good friends with Dan. Or they know each other really well or whatever. For me, prioritise a new contract for Aziz. Femi had what feels like a relatively inconsistent season, but he's a hugely important player. I think people underestimate the creativity impact or the creative impact he's had and how difficult it would be to replace him. I mean, I'm not going to put you on the spot here, Ross, but in terms of replacement, is there anyone who you think comes to mind straight away?
No,
I can't think of any because I literally just made this question up.
Yeah, no, and I don't know enough about the lower leagues, to be honest with you, to know where we would be shopping. So I can't tell you like a name or something like that. What I can talk to a little bit is that I think if we do end up losing Aziz, it actually helps us to sort of like look at the wing play in general for Reading on both sides of the field and think about how we want our wingers to profile next season. Are we going to still have players who, you know, fullbacks, sorry, who come inside? You know, Mola, is he going to continue to come inside and leave the wing play to, you know, the wingers in front of him? So, and if that is the case, then maybe we want wingers who, you know, are comfortable stretching the play. I think we've talked before also about wanting to have a bit more speed in the wingers. I don't know if we've had a true speedster. Aziz is pretty fast, but other than that, I don't think that there's been anyone notably quick. It's been more players who are able to shield the ball as they run with it and or pull out a trick or something like that. So if Aziz goes, then we get to basically rebuild the winger department at the club, which isn't the worst thing to have to do, because then you can build entirely around what you think you're looking for. You identify, you know, how you want to play, and then you go looking for those kinds of wingers who can play like that and help you to play like that. But if Aziz stays, then I think that gives us sort of like something to work almost like against on the other side, because I expect we'll still continue to see Aziz, you know, on the right side if he does stay. And Aziz is someone who likes to drive inside. So maybe, again, it'll be a case of trying to bring in a left winger who can really hug the byline, which is something I don't think we've necessarily had this season. So, yeah, I think that's what to expect. But in terms of names, I'm not sure I can pick out somebody for you at the moment.
I guess the key thing is whether or not, you know, we can replace Aziz internally with anything or any players coming up from the youth team. You know, we've been lucky in that we've had sort of breakthroughs this season. You know, obviously Wareham came on again, missed a fantastic opportunity to score. I was really gutted, actually. Really, really wanted to see him score a first team goal to round off his season. But, you know, there could potentially be players that could, you know, fill a squad place and maybe even start some preseason games.
Is it
from those
Coke Miles Smith? Coke Miles Smith, is he a winger? Because he's the one I've been hearing a lot about.
I'd have to look at the list.
Yeah. Oh, left winger.
But yeah,
left winger.
Like, there's no. I mean, there's.
Yeah. No. That you made a good point. Sorry. So you wanted to. You're saying like maybe we could bring in players from the youth team to play in that position next season. I think we've seen a lot of good youth performances this season. We've got a pair of coaches there who can work well with the young players. Kian Coke Miles Smith, that is his actual full name, is a player with the Reading under 18s at the moment, so he may be a little bit young still, but he is an attacking left winger, so he is a player that maybe we'll see come into it next season, and maybe Kamara as well. But yeah, definitely I think that given, you know, the performances of Noel Hunt's team in the last year, there should definitely be some players ready to at least, you know, make their way onto the preseason team and fight for a spot.
I guess it'd be interesting when the shirt numbers come out as well. Yeah. And when the preseason squad start to take shape, you know, if there is a tour, you know, wherever that may be, the kind of players that are selected for that and what goes on. But yeah, look, you know, we've got to be thankful that we've seen Aziz, you know, at his best.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that he's done, you know, some of the stuff he's done hasn't been great as well. So I don't think Jimmy's out of line to say it's been a bit of an inconsistent season, but when you consider the amount of minutes that he's played and all the rest of it.
Can I jump in there too? In that I think when you say inconsistent, it's almost like inconsistent between really high highs that are beyond the top level of quality for this team. When Aziz is playing at his best, as he did around December, he records Lewis Wing-esque numbers for creativity while doing it really, you know, in dangerous positions with a lot of defenders around him. And a lot of marking. He's been double marked quite a bit in the second half of this season. So, I mean, yes, inconsistent, but inconsistent between too good for this league and just kind of fine in this Reading team, you know, like not, you know, in the top five players in this Reading team rather than the top one, basically. I think Aziz has the highest ceiling of any player in this team, even Lewis Wing. And it just comes out sometimes and it doesn't come out sometimes. So yes, inconsistent, but for me, inconsistent between too good for this team and this league and just good, you know, just a good, you know, first 11 player, basically.
Yeah, he's kind of, it's one of those weird things where he's kind of, he's inconsistent within himself, you know, based on one season's work,
right?
Because obviously we hadn't seen too much of him previously, you know. So, and it is kind of one of those things. It's, you know, you nailed it perfectly, the kind of the really high highs or the really average, basically. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, and we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, not holding my breath that he will be a Reading player for too much longer, unfortunately. Final one from the mailbag, Max, who I know deeply enjoys my metaphors,
okay,
both on X but also in my writing. I haven't got one for you right now, Max.
Okay.
I'll think of it and I'll get back to you. You mean to say it wasn't recorded live at the Turtle in reference to our pod? And we're going to do a kind of a preview, but a review,
yeah,
of a drinking session that neither of us were there.
Yeah.
But we've seen enough of the videos to kind of comment on it. So we're going to do that in a kind of what is loosely a preview of things to come.
There's another huge off-season ahead for the Royals. So be loud and be proud for the big
off-season
preview.
Right, welcome back to episode 378 of the Tyler Sen podcast. Just looking at my notes to double check I've got the right number of pod.
You do a good job of that.
Well, I always think it's good because, you know, people might be listening to this and then fall asleep and then have to listen to it again and then not remember the number. I don't know. I just think it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I literally just flicked the page back to make sure it was 378 and not 379. I'm under pressure as well tonight because I left work with my laptop, which was good, but I forgot the charger. So I'm currently on 25. I started the pod on 68%.
Right.
And I'm now on 25%. So I feel like I'm a little bit like I've got to do it before the laptop heroed. Collapses.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think we're all good for a preview of sorts.
I think so.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, this summer. And, you know, pastimes that people have in the summer and the Euros and all that sort of stuff. And I think one of the things that will play very heavily into Reading fans' plans, if you like, will be the Purple Turtle. And you may have seen last night that there was a lot of Reading fans in town, which was fantastic to see. But also some of the players joined and the management staff as well joined Revelers. Sound like an old man, don't I? In the
Verily and Revellers. Yeah, you really, that
yeah,
is a...
well, you know, whatever it was. But the scenes were literally scenes. They were fantastic. It was really, really good to see that. I know that other clubs will look at us and go, well, you finished 17th, pipe down. But the sheer release of, you know, staying in the league and the season and how everything's come across, it was great to see, really. I mean, I suppose I know the answer to this already, Ross, but what do those videos and those images and kind of the actual event, that, you know, the unplanned event itself, kind of tell you about where the club is at currently?
The season started, right, with the Purple Turtle event. And that was something that Tim talked about and he enjoyed. And it was a great moment for Ruben to introduce himself to the town and the fans and all those kinds of things. And now I guess it's ended in a similar way, but possibly messier, definitely messier from what I saw on Mbenge's lives. I think it's just showing that the team is bringing the town together again, or bringing the fan base together again through grit, determination, running, all of these things that typify Sellers' style of play, obviously. They are also traditionally things that English football fans enjoy seeing. And as we said to James Oliver Pierce, as I've said a few times this season, football's been really good to watch for large portions as well this year. We've conceded quite a few goals, but we've scored I think it's the most goals in the last decade, tied with the season that we came third in the championship with under Jaap Stam. So it's been an entertaining season. And now that we've gotten to the end, I think there's a lot of relief. A sense that the players deserve to celebrate what they have achieved this season. And again, I just like that they did it at the Turtle as a sort of almost a follow-up. Obviously it's an unplanned thing, but almost like a follow-up to the first event this season. So yeah, the fan base come together. A lot of people saying that they had the best night of their lives last night online, which is, you know, it's nice. So yeah, and I enjoyed Lewis Wing held aloft singing all of his songs in unison with everybody else. That gave me a good laugh. So yeah, just great scenes, and I think it just speaks to the excitement around the club. And if the takeover happens, then, you know, it's funny, like I think a lot of us are going to be waiting for the season to start again with bated breath. I think we're going to be very excited if this takeover does happen in the next few weeks.
I can't remember ending the season on as positive note as we had yesterday. I mean, again, I know, you know, it, in the grand scheme of things, only 3 points, but it was more about the atmosphere in the ground and the fact that so many people stayed. You know, I've been in the ground for a lap of honour, if you like, in inverted commas, and there's been like 300 people left, you know, and that's pretty sad, really. And right. And I think whatever's happened, you always need to, my personal opinion, and I don't mean this at sort of the end of every game because it can be emotional, especially if you've spent, you know, hundreds of pounds or whatever and you travelled hundreds of miles and stuff to get there. But certainly at the end of the season, you're not just thanking the players, you're thanking the staff, you're thanking everyone for the efforts, really, and vice versa. You know?
Right.
But yesterday just felt, it's difficult, you know, we're not there yet. I think we're going to be there. I think the next week, maybe 2 weeks, we're going to see what we all want. I think, I'm not sure, but I think it's just a feeling I have. And I just felt yesterday was a turning point, and it felt, without sounding really cheesy, it just felt really emotional being there. And, you know, you think about the stress, and, you know, myself and Ross never ever take what we do on this pod for granted. We are very, very lucky and very privileged to be able to put this out every week, or most weeks when we can be bothered. But like, you know, we never ever take it for granted. And you know, the fact that we've had to do this in such a horrendous season and be able to be part of that yesterday, whether you know you're watching on World's TV abroad, or you're watching, or you listen to it, or you're in the stadium or whatever, it doesn't matter. Everyone was part of it, and it just felt really, really good. And I think heading into the summer, you know, if we can get that takeover, you know, done and dusted by mid-May at the latest, you know, all the blocks will start to fall into place.
Yeah. Were you there, Ben? Were you there yesterday with your dad and your son again?
Yeah, as nice. Always. Yeah.
Do you think your son pick up on the energy in the building yesterday?
Yeah,
did he
enjoy
the Dia del Jefe?
I mean, he was a bit stitched up because he thought it was going to be sunny, so he was wearing shorts.
Oh, no.
And then he realized it was really cold, so he was a bit cold. But he loves going. He loves going to the games, and you know, it's really important for me that he does that, because I'd never want to make him do stuff that he didn't want to do. But you know, yesterday it just felt different, and you know, there wasn't any sign of people around me leaving. And you know, look, the Dolan is the Dolan, right? But you know, there are times when those people love to leave early, like they love to beat the traffic, and that's their prerogative. But no one was doing that yesterday. No one left, And it was just good to see. It was just good to feel as well. And, you know, having looked at the stadium for so long this season, where I've been at times for midweek games the only person in my block, it was great to have so many people there. And that might sound really, you know, you might get someone who listens to this who supports a club that's always sold out. But for us, you know, for Reading fans, it was just a really, really positive day. Really positive day. We're building towards the summer. We've got myself and Ross have got a lot, coming up in the pipeline that we're going to do our absolute best to come off for you, our listeners. In terms of Reading, Ross, what are you going to miss most during the what you call the off season?
Yeah.
You've got 3.5 months, right? 3.5 months.
It's a long one.
Competitively again. It's a long time.
It's a really long one. What am I going to miss the most? I miss the schedule of it all. I like being a lower leagues fan. I know obviously the goal is to get to the Premier League and, you know, do well and improve and all these kinds of things. I like the rhythm of being a Championship or a League One or a League Two fan, where you're playing, you know, off, you know, all the time, basically. It's a nice way to like sort of parcel out your week, when, you know, you've got your game, you know, your weekend game coming, and then maybe you've got a midweek as well. I don't know if, you know, everybody else is running their schedule and their brain and their routine off when football games happen, obviously, but we cover Reading, so we're thinking about it all the time. And the schedule is something that I just like. I like the repeated, you know, it's a few days after a game, maybe that game didn't go well. All right, well, we've got another opportunity to go and put that right here. I'll miss that for sure. But I'll miss just the characters around the club right now. It's such a likable team of players. And the guys that are going to stay, from what it seems like, they're also likable. So the spine here is quality. It is likable. To say that for a third time. And I'm just kind of, I'll miss being around that atmosphere, especially when, you know, we get into the deeper stage of the tournament, fingers crossed, with England. And, you know, it's just nerve wracking more than anything. I'll miss the sort of freedom and the excitement with which Reading have played, especially in the back half of this season. So, this is going to be a long old off season for sure. I think I'm going to feel this by the end of it. So, maybe we'll do a lot more other stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to say, like, that we would, you know, have a break and whatever, but we might have a week off or two maybe, but I just feel there's going to be news to share, and we will be as quick as we can with a pod and keeping you up to date and giving you, you know, our reaction if people are sort of remotely interested. But we've got a list of stuff that we want to do this summer, and there's a lot of people we want to talk to. There's a lot of features we want to do in pod format. So, you know, we're not going to be disappearing for 3 and a bit months and then popping up at the end of July and going, oh, we've got season to start. So yeah, we've got lots to look forward to. Hopefully you guys have got a lot to look forward to as well in terms of the Euros and just generally being really positive about the club and, you know, buying season tickets and kits and looking at players that are coming in and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good summer. I really do. I think it's going to be the kind of the reset off the pitch that we've needed for a while. And subsequently, you know, stuff on the pitch will continue to grow as well. So, we're massively appreciative, as always, of you joining us for this review of Blackpool, review of yesterday, really. But we will be back in the very near future with some content for you. Sort of pick up a normal pod, if you like, when the season starts again. So yeah, all good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Want to get back in time to do the 400th episode in 2024, you know? So we got work to do, don't worry.
We're going to do it. What do we start with? Let me have a look here. So we started on 341, and that was way back on the 2nd of July.
I know. I don't even
and
remember.
And we're now 378 at the end of April.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember. I was 28 when this podcast started. I'm almost 30. So here we go. I'm aging as we speak, listeners. It's a problem. That's what Reading do to you. It's a good clip, actually. Go take a look. Sorry, last thing I'll say. Good clip. Go check it out with Dan, where he just he on the Tyler Stan Twitter, obviously, where he just mentions this feeling like the longest season of his life. And in many ways it does. And now it feels like it's going to be the longest off season of our lives. So, yeah, kind of funny how that works out.
Yeah. Well, I think come tomorrow morning, we'll be sat there at 9 o'clock going, that's pretty boring with that football, isn't it? Pretty
yeah.
boring. No, yeah, no Tuesday game to look forward to. But look, you know, we've done the hard graft, not us. I mean, as in the fan base and the club and everything else. So yeah, it's nice to be able to kind of take the foot off the pedal for a little bit and just sit back and you know, see what comes into RG2 over the next couple of weeks and a month. So yeah, good stuff. Ross, have a very good week. I'm sure
we will speak
very soon, both in pod form.
And follow and support Portland Hearts of Pine again, just if you're, you know, looking for an American team, a new one coming up here.
Have they got accounts set up yet?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's Portland Hearts of Pine. And you can also find it under USL to Portland. So yeah.
I'll have a look at that. I can't wait for the kit now as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'll keep you updated.
Have a good week, Ross. Have a good week, everybody. As I said, we're not going to say have a good summer because you're going to hear from us. So we're not going anywhere. So don't worry about that. We will see you very soon. Get in touch if you want us to cover anything, if you want us to look at anything, if you want to come on the pod as well, that's great. We're more than happy to kind of bring more people into it and you know, build up who we've got to sort of to chat to as well. Because it's always good to get different voices on here.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, anything at all you want us to look at or just mention, just drop us an email, drop us a message, whatever you want to do, and we will get back in touch with you. Thank you for your listenership. Thank you for your positivity. Thank you for your questions, comments, for being with us on this journey that has been 23-24. We're at the end of it. Breathe a huge sigh of relief. Be thankful that you support the greatest club in the world, and come on, you Arse.